Okay, how does this work?
Well, you put the wet clothes in the dryer, you close the door, and you wait.
Laundry day is a very dangerous day.
Hey, hey, boy.
Hi, welcome back to the Laundry Day Podcast. I'm your host, Lila, and I'm here with my co-host and co-husband, Jeremy. And we're here to give you your weekly recap in pop culture and current events. What up?
Hi.
Oh, you're there.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to get through that.
I thought I was talking to myself.
Fucking intro.
You don't like it?
Nah.
You don't like it?
Nah.
You think I should change it?
Yeah.
To what?
To anything other than calling me not my name.
I think it's so funny, though, to call you a different name every week.
I'm happy you think it's funny.
I don't think anybody realizes that I call you a different name every week, and they just have no clue who's going to be the co-host and co-husband.
Okay.
They're just left in the dark. So it's like...
I like that.
New day of the week, new co-host, you know?
I like that.
What'd you do this weekend?
Well, you know what I did this weekend. I was with you all weekend, and we did absolutely nothing.
Yes.
Like nothing.
Like nothing. The front door opened, but to get the delivery guy to get the food.
Yeah, and I had so many plans because we're doing stuff to the house, and I did a lot last weekend. I had plans for stuff this weekend, and I did maybe 10 minutes of work, maybe 20. And for some reason, I decided to watch all of the Ocean's movies, 11, 12, and 13. Don't
How about 8?
Nah, I watched. That's terrible. It's horrible.
Okay.
11, 12, and 13. Don't ask me why. I've seen them multiple times. But we did watch some very decent movies.
Oh, shit. You're right.
Yeah,
we did what?
It was yesterday.
Yeah, I forgot because I didn't think we were going to talk about the movies we watched this weekend. Now James is leading the podcast, as you can see, I guess. That's cool. Yeah, we did watch a bunch of movies. You want to talk about them?
No.
No, for real.
Yeah, so we watched...
So you watched Ocean's 11, 12, 13, but that was after we had already watched these movies.
Yeah, whatever.
You watched 9 movies this weekend?
Yeah, I watched...
Oh, I watched one without you too.
Yeah, it was... if there was a camera just watching what I did this weekend, it'd be disgusting.
Yeah, it would just have one angle.
Yeah, just one. All you need is one camera.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, go ahead. Gross. Go on the
so
movies.
So we watched Midsommar. I think we're very late to that party.
Say it Swedish.
Loved it.
Loved it.
Loved it.
The L word is a little hard for me. I loved this movie?
I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Okay. Well, weird.
I like a movie that's...
Yeah, tell the people what it's about. What is the movie about? What genre is it?
I think, that's what I was getting at. I think it's...
Terrorizing?
I think it's suspense horror.
Can't
but it's
sleep?
Not like it's not Donna? A typical scary movie where stuff is popping up, and I like movies like that. I like movies that are in the horror genre that are not
psychological.
They're not pop up scary. They're not they're playing the music and you know something's gonna happen. It's just a weird movie.
Psychological.
Yeah, psychological thriller, I guess.
Yeah. I would call that more a psychological thriller than a horror movie.
It was
horrific.
I mean, it's super, it was based, I mean, it's, I like that. I liked it because it was based in somewhat of reality where they have this festival in Sweden and.
That's the reality part. They do have this festival in Sweden.
It turned out to these college kids go out there to write their thesis on different.
Don't ruin it.
If you haven't seen it, just.
No, but
I
don't
care.
Ruin it.
Spoiler alert, come back to the show in 30 seconds.
Don't ruin it. Just don't ruin it. It's a scary movie.
I'm giving the plot.
But don't
do it. You can Google the plot.
No, but don't do it. I'm saying don't do it. Don't do it. Don't be out here ruining shit for the people.
All right, I'm going to head out.
SpongeBob meme.
Yeah.
Just leave it at that. It's a psychological thriller about the Swedish tradition of Midsommar in Sweden, and it's fucking weird as shit. And don't say anything more because, you know, that's what I want to go into every movie that I see from now on, completely blind. I don't want to know anything. I don't want to know what it's about. I don't even really want to know who's in it. I just want to go in completely blind. No more trailers.
Well, I'd rather you tell me that it's just the plot and don't tell me if it's good or bad.
Oh, so you're going straight for the ruiner. You just want somebody to just ruin it for you?
You could tell me what happened. Don't tell me if it was good or bad. I'll decide that. Because I hate when people say a movie was so good, I go there and it's terrible. Or the opposite.
Okay, yeah. Same with a restaurant.
Yeah.
Okay, what else do we watch?
El Camino, which I was dying to see.
Yes.
And
did you know about it before it happened? Because I feel like I didn't know this was happening before.
I've been waiting.
Oh, okay. You're like an actual fan.
I truly think that the movie capped off the show and secured it as possibly the best show ever.
Bold statement.
Ever.
Bold.
And when it first came out, I think it dropped at 3 o'clock in the morning, our time. I guess you would call that Friday morning.
That was Friday. No, it came out normal.
No,
12.
It came out midnight in L.A. in like West Coast time.
Why?
That's how Netflix works with movie releases.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
Not with literally any other show they've
literally
released.
Literally any other show.
It comes out at midnight.
Yeah. West Coast.
Our time.
No.
Then why is it on at midnight our time?
False. Anyway.
When the Dave Chappelle thing came out, I was watching TV on Netflix and I saw as soon as it came on because I was watching at midnight our time. I wasn't watching midnight LA time. I don't have my clock in LA time.
Oh, I think you're wrong. But anyway.
Fuck out of here.
So I saw a lot of reviews during the day and it was very mixed. I was like, whatever. I'll be the judge of it. And I thought it was very good. I give it like an 7.8 out of 10, 8.2 out of 10, around that range.
That's either a 70 or an 80. You giving it a 70 or an 80?
That's not how scoring like that works.
How does it work?
Like if you're in the nines, you're...
A 90.
Stop. You can't think of it like that. You can't think of it like school grades.
But that's what you're saying.
No, because it's like a 50 would be a fail.
Yeah.
But it's
a 5 is a fail.
I like
fail.
Some 50 movies. I like Biodome as a 50, as a 5 range.
And whose scale? Rotten Tomatoes?
My scale. I'm talking my scale.
It's a 5?
No.
Talking like your own movie scale nobody has anything to do with. So 7 is supposed to be really good?
High 7s is good. 8.2.
Okay, this is a scale. Use a scale that we use. Like, is it 5 stars? Is it 4 stars? What the fuck? You're just doing
like
your mind
scale?
I stars
because 5 is really hard to... Like 5, if you only get 5 things to judge it off of, it's hard. I give it 1 to 10 with decimals.
So give it a Rotten Tomatoes. Like give it a percentage.
You 82. Can't,
82. Okay. So 8.2.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Got it. Okay.
So it was very good. It picked up right where the show left off and ended it perfectly on the Jesse Pinkman story. We know how Walt ended. I think it was capped the show off. To be perfect. Literally perfect. I think the show was perfect.
Did you think it was perfect?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I thought it was really good. But I also wasn't big on the big Breaking Bad thing. But it was good. It was really good. Watch it. Not going to ruin it. What else did we watch? That wasn't it. We watched 3 or 4 movies.
Oh, Yesterday. Yeah.
Yesterday. That's a cute movie.
Cute concept.
That's not what we were in the mood for, though.
Cute concept. Basically, there's a there's a power outage in...
the UK.
The world.
Oh, and the world.
Everybody forgets about the Beatles existing, except for this guy and a few other people. And he decides to make all their music his own and become famous.
Okay.
And it's really cool concept, but it, pattered off into a love story that was boring.
Yeah. When things do that, when shows and movies make it about a relationship, I'm off. Like, what's that movie? Interstellar? Which one was about the father-daughter bullshit ass? Ended up being about them. And
Interstellar.
Yeah, no. Fuck that shit.
Don't. was so good.
Don't. James.
Especially,
Interstellar sucked, okay?
Especially a father-daughter. Like,
all right, get soft.
That's one of the few times I've cried in my life. I cried. I mean,
you cried during Interstellar?
He misses her whole life and then goes back home.
Did anyone tell him to be an astronaut?
He was trying to save the world. The world was ending. He wanted to save the world to save his family. And then when he comes home and he's the same age and she's dying. Oh,
honestly, that's so dramatic. Like, it's the most dramatic thing that's ever happened.
I mean, it's a movie.
Yeah. So
A drama movie.
Stupid.
Drama.
I fucking hate that movie. But you know what? I'd give it another shot just to see if I could see what you think. Just to see if I could, if I understand why you like it so much, because I don't.
I might watch it tonight. 9:30. I might watch it tonight.
And then I watched Toy Story 4.
Yeah, I mean, you're so late to that.
You saw it in the theaters without me. I don't know. I had to see it before I died. I could die tomorrow. So.
Yeah. So it was a movie filled weekend.
Yeah. Lots of good movies.
It was a good weekend. Sometimes you just need that time. You don't have your kid around, and you're like, I'm gonna do this, this, and this, and you know what? You say, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just gonna lay here and just be a fucking potato, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, sometimes.
Are you okay, though?
I'm okay. I think I'm trying to justify it in my head of not getting anything done.
I don't know what's happening to you, but you're not okay. Let's take a break and jump into the topics, okay? Let your brain rest a little bit. I feel like it works really hard all day. It's hard to do this on a Monday, I know. All right, so we got to talk about Ellen DeGeneres and now becoming the problematic person of 2019. Did you hear about this? Have you heard? Are you? I'll give you the summary.
It's all bullshit. All
right. So last week, Ellen was spotted at a football game sitting next to the good old Mr. Bush. And very chummy, friendly. They seemed to be having a good time together, which is weird. And a lot of people felt like that was weird. So Ellen, of course, addressed it on her show, calling for, be kind to everybody. And regardless of your beliefs, just be kind and all that. I'm paraphrasing that. But, you know, that typical, like, Ellen thing that she does. And even going as far as to call Mr. Bush her friend. I don't know. This is all really kind of weird to me. What do you think?
I don't think it's weird. She's at a football game. I think they're both Dallas Cowboys fans. She's, from, you know, the outside looking in, an unbelievably friendly and nice person.
What do you mean by outside looking in?
I don't know her.
Okay, go on. So, okay, finish what you were saying. You don't know her personally.
She does a ton. She does a ton for all these charities and communities that she deals with. And to snap a picture of her sitting next to George Bush having a conversation, who gives a fuck? Why do we care? Who gives a fuck?
I think because people give a fuck because she's saying one thing about her beliefs and...
Yeah, but you don't know what she... Okay. She could have said, you know what? I'm going to have a conversation with this idiot and maybe I could change the way he thinks. You don't know what she was doing.
What you don't understand or what you chose to mishear is that they are friends. They're friends. They hang out. They text. They're friendly people together. This is not the once clip. Oh, wow. We saw them together. These motherfuckers hang out. So with that being said, does she know that he hates gay people?
Does she not think Bush
doesn't like black people and Bush doesn't like gay people. Bush only likes his people. And I want to do this whole section without getting political at all, but Bush only likes his people.
Yeah, maybe, but I don't know. Too much emphasis on...
I feel like she's going about this in the term of like, we need to be, you know, more accepting as people and like their beliefs and not be friends with somebody or not have a conversation with somebody because they have a difference in beliefs. But I think there's a difference between acceptance and just straight up ignorance. You're just choosing to ignore the fact that Bush did 9/11 and just, you know, share popcorn at a football game. I have an issue with it, but at first glance, I did not. At first glance, I was like, whatever, I don't give a fuck who she's sitting next to. But Mark Ruffalo was the one who came out and was like, yo, what the fuck? So he tweeted out, I don't want to even read it, but he basically was calling out Ellen for this bullshit saying, until George Bush is brought to justice for his crimes, i.e. the Iraq war, everybody's dying, all this shit, then you can't even begin to talk about kindness. And I totally agree with that. If you look at it that way, he should be held accountable in every way. the people in his life should hold him accountable. You know, the justice system will never hold anybody accountable, but it should hold him accountable as well. And I feel like that's where that ignorance comes in.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, there's always powers that be that are above Bush, so...
I don't want to do this.
I know,
without
but you're getting there, and I don't want
political.
To either.
I'm not getting political. I don't want to get political. I'm just saying, when it comes down to it, in terms of crimes and criminal activity, would you? I guess you would be friends with. Would you like say El Chapo was like walking down the street and he saw you walking Cleo or something and was like, "Yo, hombre." Want to hang out?
Okay, but
like, would you be friends with somebody who you know has done wrong?
Okay, not talking conspiracy for a second. We're going to just talk what's on the surface.
I asked you a question. Answer
that
first.
Hold on. I'll explain to you. El Chapo was a known, is a known drug dealer that's killed.
Correct.
Tons of people.
Okay, correct.
Surface level, I'm speaking. George Bush went to war for a terrorist attack.
Okay.
On the country.
Cause 9/11.
No conspiracy.
No, but we can't not talk conspiracy if you're going to talk Bush. It's honestly not even a conspiracy. It's fact, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, regardless of that, answer the question. Would you befriend El Chapo knowing who El Chapo was? Would you?
Of course not.
Okay, so why the fuck should Ellen be able to walk around and befriend political El Chapo?
Listen, move next subject because we're getting wild.
Okay, no. I want to really hone in on this. And like, when is it forgivable to become friends with somebody who's done wrong? Like,
I don't. That's something that should be on a human level that you should know within yourself. If somebody does wrong, you should know personally, which Ellen probably does, is when do I talk to this person who I believe has done bad, and maybe I could change their outlook on the world. That's up to you as a human being.
Wow.
And if you don't feel like you have enough power to do that, then you don't do it.
I feel like that really said some shit about you. Just really talked some shit about Ellen DeGeneres. You said she's fucking bullshit.
No, I said the opposite.
Yeah, because inside she doesn't fucking realize how terrible he is.
No, you're not listening.
What
I said is that you have to be, if you're comfortable enough as a human being to feel that you could change somebody's outlook, then go ahead and do it, which obviously she is. If you're not comfortable enough, then whatever. If you heard somebody talk shit about black people and instead of just like, I'll never talk to them again, which is fine. You have the right to be like, I don't have, or you can be like, well, what the fuck? Why do you feel that way? Hear them out. And then here, obviously it'll be nonsense no matter what, but maybe you could change their view and you change that one person at a time and then that's what it takes.
Okay, so to El Chapo, would you have this conversation with El Chapo? Would you?
El Chapo it's not his outlooks on the world that is different from George Bush. It's his actions that are just awful. He decided to sell drugs and have a cartel.
I need a different. I need a different analogy. Okay.
Of people's lives. All right, it's
fine,
different.
Okay, got you. Okay, you need another person. Trump. Use Trump as the example. Trump's chugging along. He wants to fucking do a deal with you. You doing it? You like gonna become his buddy? Look at all the shit he's done.
Trump
criminal.
Trump is a special case because Trump does a lot of carnival barking to appease to the crowd. I don't really believe he feels a lot of the things he says. He just does it to appease to the people that voted for him. So Trump is another special case.
God damn. All right. We'll leave it at El Chapo. Call it here.
El Chapo to Joker.
Time of death. I don't know what time it is. Okay, so next we got backlash over the Joker. Some pussy ass bitches somewhere in the country are bitching and moaning that this movie is too violent, it's way too terrifying. This is the headline. Joker viewers around the world walk out of movie theaters and urge cinemas to ban the ultra violent film, says it glamorizes gun violence and deals with mental health issues in a triggering way. Thoughts on the headline alone.
So I haven't seen it yet, but I didn't think it was. I mean, is it a violent movie? I think it's more disturbing than it is violent.
I think it's a mix of both. And one comment says, a fan claimed Joker was too terrifying considering what is going on in the world. So I think it's a mix of a lot of gun violence. Like all Batman movies, it's a lot of shooting, robberies, like all type of shit. And I think it's a lot for where we are right now. But at the same time, like, we got like 6 Saw movies.
I mean,
and like, talk about violent. Like, I guess there's a realistic violent and like an ultra like scenario violent. You're not your everyday shit, like chopping off your own arm. But I feel like we've seen a lot of this over the years. Maybe people are now getting desensitized to everything. Or what do you think?
I just, again, it's a human problem. Like, there's violence everywhere. In real life, every day, everywhere. The internet, movies, video games. Just ban it all. I mean, at that point, just... You gonna ban the Joker?
Is that how you feel?
No, that's not how I feel. Okay. Like, there's a movie. There's a Joker movie. Is it violent? I guess if you can't decipher between a violent movie and what's real life, then you have a mental problem, a literal one, and that's okay. But just fix it. Don't take it literal. Go to the movies, enjoy yourself, come home, and be like, okay, I'm not gonna put makeup on and kill everybody. If you can't,
maybe the issue is people can relate.
That's fine that people could relate.
No, I don't mean people. I mean like psychopaths.
Yeah. Yeah. And okay, so that just proves that there's something wrong with you. But you don't just ban stuff. Like, you don't ban art and just because some people are affected by it. You ban something when everybody's affected by it. That's it. Next.
Snaps, James, with the scripture. All right, I kind of like that.
All right, take it easy.
All right. Wait, while we're... I kind of want to get into the mental illness piece of that really quick. Okay, fine. Forget it. Go kill myself. Next. Speaking of mental illness, I guess we'll talk about it here. Okay, mother... I titled this Mother Defends Her 9-Year-Old Murderer Son. Okay, just to give you a little context. A 9-year-old boy intentionally burned his house down in the middle of the night with his entire family inside. His mother escaped, and him, obviously, because he made himself a little escape route. And as this case is going to trial, just I think like last week or so, his mom is now coming out speaking on his behalf. And then I'll tell you what she said. But first, thoughts?
I mean, crazy, but keep going.
Okay. So the mother, I took this excerpt from an article, and it says, everyone is looking at him. This is what she said, the mother. Everyone is looking at him like he's some kind of monster, and that's not who he is. People make mistakes, and that's what this is. Yes, it's a horrible tragedy, but it's still not something to throw his life away over. Okay. Just to give you a little bit more context. When I say his entire family, I mean his brothers and sisters that were babies, his grandparents, his aunt, and his cousin.
So how'd the mother escape?
I don't fucking know. And that's what I got questions about too. How the fuck did she get out?
Well... You got to put yourself in the shoes, right?
I've put them. I got a lot of questions for you.
If this was your kid,
yep,
you would be unbelievably sad just strictly by the fact that they did this. Like, what did I do wrong? What's wrong with my kid?
Yes.
My whole family's dead. Yeah, but like, what's wrong with my kid? What happened? You don't want to see your child get whatever the punishment has coming to him, even though he's 9. I don't know what they do, but he obviously needs help. Or did the mom do it? Because why is she escaping?
I have so many questions and obviously no answers. But let me start with my first question: is the fuck? Second question, why would she use the words people make mistakes? This is not a mistake, because the kid went on to say, I burned my house. Like, I meant to burn my house down. Like, I didn't look that deep into it. Honestly, I was disturbed more by the mother than actually the kid, because I feel like serial killers pop up, you know, emotionally distressed children. And, you know, it's going to escalate at some point. This one escalated very quickly, and I really am scared by those type of people. But I think the mother more disturbs me is the way she talks about it. Her own children died. She had like four other children that died in the house. Do you devalue your other children's lives over your one living child?
I don't think she's doing that.
But I also think that she's so clouded by, I guess, like this, you know, you have a love from a mother to a child. Obviously, there's that unconditional love. But at some point, that shit got to run the fuck out. I feel like the line gets drawn when your own child murders your family. I feel like that's when you could be like, you know what? I'm not so sure about you.
Well, you would definitely feel that way, but listen, doesn't know what she's saying. Her whole family's dead, and her son did it. You can't take her whatever
she did,
but you can't say what she said in that interview is gospel. I mean, it's not
her gospel,
sane.
It's her truth.
Not really.
How do you know?
She's in massive grieving.
She didn't say this like right after it happened.
Was it a week? Two weeks, three months. You're not getting over it in months. You're not getting over it in years.
Like, I don't feel like you're on a mental breaking point and choosing to give an interview. If you watch the interview, she's very composed and she's perfectly fine. Honestly, I really think that she did it, and I would love for this to be a total spin and be like they partnered and like he was like, oh, okay, get the towels or whatever.
What, a 9-year-old mastermind?
They both were in it together. Or maybe she like woke him up in the middle of the night, was like, you're my favorite. Come on.
That's possible. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see
And then
that.
She was like, well, take the blame because nothing will happen to you because you're a kid. And then she's like, I'm just chill.
I could see that. Netflix documentary.
That's more realistic than this kid killing his entire family. His mom walking out like, meh.
I could see that. That's a Netflix documentary.
What do you think? Do you think that parents of serial killers or kids that turn out to be murderers should be held accountable for their kids' crimes?
Well,
like in a court of law, like should they be charged?
I don't think there currently is a charge for that. But if you look at 90% of serial killers, any of them, they were mentally or physically abused as a kid.
Yeah, so you're not answering my question. Should parents be held accountable in some way? Like, should they be charged with accessory, birthed the murderer? That should be a charge.
I think it would make the conviction like a lot harder to. It's hard to convict a parent on that, and I also think there's some kind of like law that's
did you hear what I said?
You're in charge of your own free will as a human being, and if you I think the percentage of people that were abused mentally and physically that became serial killers is a lot lower than the people that were physically and mentally abused and became normal human beings.
I'm so confused. I asked you a question. Are you still not answering
it? I don't think you can. No,
I'm saying, should you,
no.
Like in your imaginary James world, in my imaginary Lila world, would you?
No, and I was trying to say why no, so no.
Jeez.
If you can't follow, you're not smart enough, but it's okay.
I can't follow because it's like I asked you one thing, yes or no?
No, but, and because of the reason I just said.
No, but I feel like if your kid turns out to be a murderer and your kid goes out and murders people, you at home just chilling like, hey, I didn't have anything to do with it. You should be in trouble too. Like, the fuck?
Why?
Because he spends all his time with you. Why does he know how to wield a knife? He's always home. Now he's out with a gun. Oh, that gun's yours. Hello. You're going to jail too, bub.
No.
I feel like parents should be held responsible in some way. Yes, they're held responsible in their conscience in some way, but they should be held responsible too. You go raise a serial killer, that's your fault. They're not born that way.
It's your fault for abusing them and making them have a different outlook on life. But again, there's a lot more people that were that went through the same thing serial killers went through and didn't become serial killers.
It's not about becoming it. It's not the series of becoming it. You're focusing on that too much. I'm talking about the actual, they're not, it's not about the effects of their life anymore. It's about them now. It has escalated to this point.
Yeah.
That they're murdering people.
Right, that's what I'm talking
about. So, meeting up here, we're not worrying about the ones who didn't, and they're fine. We're talking about the ones who their kids have escalated to that point, whether they're 9 years old or 30 years old.
Right.
I think the parents should be held responsible in some way. You're saying absolutely not because there's more people that haven't become murderers that have gone through the same things that haven't. But that's not what I'm talking about.
It relates to what your free, like your free will as a human being. You're able to say, okay, I went through these things, but so, I'm going to become a better person.
Okay, but
those people didn't have the thought process to become a better person.
They just decided
to kill people.
I'm going to draw this back a little bit more. So like you're saying these kids that end up being abused in their lives in their childhood are more likely to become serial killers or mentally disabled. Mm-hmm. So why are the parents not being held accountable for abusing their child through life, whether physically or mentally, in order for them to get this point? If someone's abusing their child at home, that's not free will. That's illegal.
No. You took what is free will. You took that.
So what are you saying? You're talking something. You're not connecting.
I said no. Because, listen, if they're caught abusing and physically or mentally, of course, lock the kids up. I mean, lock the parents up. But if it causes the kid to become a serial killer, I don't think they should be locked up.
Okay, you agree with me, but like you're trying not to.
Listen,
I'm pretty sure you agree with me, but you're trying not to so bad. It's fine. We could just leave like that because I feel like that's a good place to leave off. But what do you think should happen to this kid?
Ugh, he's 9. He's got to go through major therapy.
Head chopped off. It's the law, you know?
You're chopping 9-year-old's head off?
He murdered his entire family? Why do we need them here? Like, you know, like I'm talking about broad scheme. You're killing people, you're done. Again.
Okay.
Unless he was justified in killing his family, right? Like, that's what your argument is.
Not at all.
How could you be justified in killing your entire family? Let's brighten it up a little bit. Just a little bit. So there's a viral video going around of a Panera employee showing how the mac and cheese is made. And it's gone viral. It's gotten a lot of attention and it's ultimately led to her getting fired over it. Have you seen the video?
No. How's it made?
Do you want to see how it's made?
No, just tell me.
No, you got to see how it's made because that's the whole thing.
I'll look it up.
How are you not going to see how it's made? I got it right here, so it's fine. All right. So just note, she was fired over this.
Give me it.
I'll talk about what I think so far on this. How did you think it was made? Just a question. Like, out there in the world, I want to know every way you thought Panera mac and cheese was made.
I have no problem with that.
And I don't either. I have zero problem.
So basically, she takes a bag of prepackaged mac and cheese, boils it, and puts it in a plate.
Yeah. That's it.
I mean, that's like literally how you make mac and cheese at home.
Thank you.
You boil macaroni, put cheese on it.
What else did you want her to do with it? Some people are saying, like, I didn't expect it to look like that or I didn't expect it to be in that kind of packaging or what. I don't know what it matters. It's either going to come freeze dried or it's going to come prepared. I mean, they're not gourmet. They're not fucking chefing up macaroni all day. I don't know what anybody thought was happening there, but she got fired over this.
Well,
I don't think she
shouldn't have got fired, but I mean, it's not surprising on how it's made, but you also shouldn't be filming like behind the kitchen, I don't think.
I think that's kind of gross. Like having your phone out in the kitchen while you're preparing
food. Well, I think as like maybe, you know, it could be a company policy where they're like, just don't, you know, just obviously don't film behind our kitchen.
Yeah.
Some things are better left unknown than, I mean, even the visual is not... you know, you walk into Bonaro, you want to think, hey, this is good shit, but you shouldn't think that. I mean, Panera's like everything's frozen, but not surprising, and not really surprising she got fired. They got to save face, and there's got to be a sacrifice.
True that.
So
true that. Gospel, James. Preach.
All right.
That's all for this episode. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week with another episode. James.
Bye.
Peace.